Welcome to the Creative Talk podcast, where we talk all things success, longevity, motivation, and faith. I'm Dr. Carla Scott, and this is episode 10, sponsored by the Steady Faith book, which is a must-have for leaders, entrepreneurs, and creative. Now, today's guest is cellist, singer-songwriter Shauna Tucker, who is the forerunner in the chamber soul genre. She's here to tell us all about that and so much more. And we just want to say welcome, Shauna. How are you today?
I was having a great day anyway. And then I saw you and I heard your voice and I was like, Dala! Dala! It's been too long.
It is so such a pleasure to have you on my creative, brilliant, talented, world-traveled mama, musical, everything friend. And I know that you have some, you know, just great things for us to kind of meditate on out of your own experience. So I can't wait to get into it. I always like to start this interview in the same way. I just like for people to tell a little bit about how they got from point A to Z. Like, how did you get into how did you get into doing what you're doing now?
Well, the short answer of like point A, the from point A to A prime. Let's go there. So when I was in high school, my brother is 13 months older than me. My stepbrother is a couple of years older than my brother. And our parents sat us down and they were like, look, we can't afford to send all y'all to school at the same time. So somebody's going to have to get scholarship. Somebody's going to have to go into military, something. You're going to have to figure it out. But we don't got it like that. So that. All right. That was it. Like there was no, you know, and at the time I was already like doing all county, all state. I grew up on Long Island. So Long Island String Festival was like the same way people in New York go to, or like in the area, go to Penn Relays for track, you know, Long Island String Festival, all state, all county, all Eastern. That was like my Penn Relays, you know, and that was what I was like kind of training for in public school. But my mom, like, finally in my senior year, she was like, oh, I guess she's kind of serious about this. Maybe we should like get her some lessons or something. Cause nobody in my family is a musician and just don't even really know about that life. Even though we sing a lot, in our family, silly songs mostly, but I'm the only professional musician. And so when I got to college, I just knew that I wanted to go to Howard because I wanted to go to an HBCU, like everyone who grew up in the early 90s and watched A Different World. I wanted to go to Hillman. Like everyone who grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, who saw Spike Lee movies, I didn't even know that kind of life existed. I want to go there, wherever that is. I want that. Nobody's talking about like education. It's all purely social. And then I found that was Howard. And so that's how I kind of sort of happened to find myself in DC. Probably the best, how would you say, like, you sort of just happen upon something. You don't even realize the fortune that you, this was not a well-researched situation for me. It was more like, I love DC. I know enough about Howard to feel like that's a good place for me. And then once I got there, I was like, oh my God, like these people are my age and they are playing jazz and singing opera and like just have a mastery of their instruments that I had not been exposed to. And everybody's Black, right? So I had no idea that people were able to have this much of a command over their instruments at this young an age. It just was mind blowing. And on top of that, every single person who was coming through DC for a performance, they would come through and they'd do a masterclass or a workshop or a concert or something at Howard. So I got this sort of crash course, not just in elevating my level of playing, in my awareness of what someone my age has the potential to be doing. And then, like, you know, like, there's no limit to what you could, because people are coming in and out of Howard, like, from tour. They'd, like, you know, take class for a semester and go on tour. I'm like, really? Like, what? Like, wait, he's only 19. Why is he on, he's on tour? With who? What? You know? So it was like a, it became a really, like, instantly tangible reality, you know, to say, oh, I can do this for a living. People that I know, people my age are doing this for a living. And then for me, it just became a matter of, okay, but I play cello though. They play, you know, normal instruments. And I came to Howard, like, with this almost snobbish, oh, well, I can sight read, and I, if it's on the page, I can read it. You know, I don't do off the page. What are you talking about? Like, like the person that I was, the child that I was in that space of, you know, thinking in this level of condescension that I shouldn't have to read off the page. If you don't put it in front of me, I'm not going to play it. If I kept that up, girl, I would have been with a cup somewhere playing a Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star or something. I don't know. Anyway. But the day that I realized that that there was another life that is strings oriented, that is improvisation, that is neck, like, totally in it, was the day that Uptown String Quartet came to Ira Aldridge Theater, girl. Those four women, those four Black women, blew my mind. Like X's in my eyeballs. Just everything. An X for my mouth, an X here, an X here. I was like, what are you talking about? They're playing Aretha Franklin. What are you talking about? They're playing James. What are you talking about? Who is Wayne Shorter? What is his footprints? I just knew, like, the baseline, you know? I knew, what is this? Duke Ellington has orchestral music? Wait, come Sunday. I got to write this down, you know? And I was just like, this is what that's Eileen Folsom. I was the cellist. She's since passed away. God rest her soul. I saw her and I was like, that's who I want to be. Like, that is who and what I need to be. And so they called all the string players up to stage. So I go up the stage and they had a chart. Now, listeners, there is a difference between a part and a chart. A part has notes and dynamics and articulation and everything you need to know about what you're supposed to play based on the composer, the arranger, whomever has given it to you, right? A chart has some chord changes and some slashes in the measures. And there might be a melody somewhere, but if in this one, the melody was in treble clef. Okay. And when I tell you that my shirt turned a different color because the sweat marks from my underarms and on my chest and on my back, okay, I had a different shirt on. I could have wrung it out. That's how nervous I was, girl. I was like whispering to Eileen. I was like, what are we supposed to play? When are we supposed to go? She's just follow the chart. I was like, where? She's like, the letters on it. Just play that. And I was like, so, you know, my bow didn't move. My fingers, they move. I was just like frozen. And then there was solo section. You're supposed to solo over the form. Listeners, if you don't know the difference between a part and a chart, you are not going to solo over nobody's nothing. Solo over the form. Are you kidding me? So anyway, that was my crash course in, like, realizing that there is a life off the page, like within the page, but off the page. And the music that you, like, you take everything that you know about what the key is and what the chords are and what type of scale it is and, like, what the vibe is and what somebody else is doing and what the melody is. And you take all of that and in a moment, you just sort of mix it up into this sort of, I don't know, gumbo or punch right? This beautiful fruit punch that has some special something in it that is all you. Yes. Yeah, the ingredient, you can't, if you don't know that punch requires like certain ingredients, it doesn't matter how special your little special thing is, it's not going to be punch. It is just not, right? And so I had to like backtrack and be like, okay, well, what is involved here? Like, I play cello and I know in my heart that I want to do more than just play classical music. I know this. So, and I see these people that are just like playing and they close their eyes and they're like, you know, just, I don't know. They just have something that is just like having them tell their story with all this emotion. And it's honest and authentic. And I want that. How do I do that? You know? And it wasn't until, girl, I don't know, it took a long time for me to realize that jazz is not just playing what you feel. You know, it's not just, you don't just, you know, it's not just that. Like, you you have to know as much about scales and arpeggios and qualities and, you know, melodic, harmonic. It's almost like you got to know more. Honestly, that's what I've realized. But it's that much more fulfilling, I think, for me, especially knowing now that I can do this and not care that I play a classical instrument. That's not even a thing anymore. I play cello. I improvise on cello. And that's my other voice when I'm not using this one right here. And it works. And then when I started playing, around the same time I met my friend, our sister, Sister Sledge, Maritri Garrett. So that was like the official segue into, not only are we making music and the requirement was that I had to contribute by either arranging or writing original material, preferably both. That pushed me a lot. And so that was kind of like the sort of springboard of going from this little, I'm from Amityville. I play cello classically, black girl coming to DC and like, you know, just sort of diving right into, I don't know how I'm going to play cello, but I know that I want to play cello and I know that I have something more to say than just classical music. Oh, and by the way, I also sing. Let me find my tribe. And for me, my tribe was at Howard and more specifically started with these two other sisters, Maritri and Deirdre, as a member of Hue.
Wow. So it's a really tremendous journey thus far. And all sorts of beautiful themes in there, you know, finding your voice as a creative and figuring out what you don't know about what you don't know.
Right.
And finding your way there. So we fast forwarded quite a few years from that point. So what would you say is like a bedrock, a number one thing that you, foundationally for you, that you just stand on to do what you do? One thing that is true for you would be?
It's the authenticity and intention piece. I find myself saying that a lot because I see so often folks get caught up or like nervous about what other people are doing or what is current or how do we relate to the millennials or, you know, who are they talking about now? And I'm like, who is they? Like, why do we care? Why is that even a thing? Like, I get relevance and I don't know if relevancy is a word, but I get remaining relevant. But you can't have someone else define your relevance. But like Shauna Tucker is a person, you know, and Chamber Soul is the type of music that I play and the vibe and the the acousticness and the way that musicians communicate with each other, and the feeling of intimacy, no matter how big or small the room is. And that's always going to be the case. That, like, that's how I play music. I don't do it because it's a gimmick or it's a brand. This is what I look like. This is what I sound like. And it's not to say that Chamber Soul won't take on or evolve into other contours, but it's almost like, you know, like, you can look at a baby picture of you and know, I know that's Carla, you know, I know that's little Shauna, right? There's something in there that you can point to that just sort of screams that it's you. And I feel like that's your authenticity. It's like, that's almost like your fingerprint, you know? And as far as intention, I know, even when we can't, when we humans, I'll say, because there is a difference between musicians and dare I say civilians, everybody else. I'll say everybody else, right? It, because we feel differently and we communicate differently, and that's a different podcast. But I will say that we probably can identify when someone is not feeling what they're sharing with us, and it falls flat. And where it's not even about being impressed, it's just like, music is supposed to transcend and go where words just can't, you know, whether it's lyrics or the melody or a combination of both or no lyrics at all. You can tell when somebody is totally in that space where what they have to communicate, that is the most important thing in this moment. And it goes straight from here, heart and mind, to yours, to the audience. And it's like these, like, sort of lasers that just go, oh my God. Now, the filters that we have, you know, sense of place or what makes a song, you know, remind you of this relationship, this space and time, is going to be different based on our experience. But when you just sing in words and you just playing notes, you're not really in it. It doesn't do anything except kind of aggravate. It aggravates me, that's for sure. And that's what I'm talking about with intent. Just, like, be honest about what it is that you're doing, and be honest when what you're doing is not honest, and then go sit down somewhere until you can get to that place. That, to me, has been successful. Like, I had to take a considerable break after I had my son, because I was like, I am just playing music. I'm not really, like, making music. I don't really, my focus is not here, and I can't do both right now. So I'm just gonna put music away for a time, and I'm gonna focus on being Mama Shauna. And when I have space for it again, let's try it again. And thank God it happened. I wasn't really concerned. But I knew that I couldn't disrespect it in that way. Just sort of just do it. I have so many long answers for you, Carla.
No, this is great. This notion of not being able to disrespect, you know, the conversation that you could add to music. So can you say a bit about, can you just talk to the 18-year-old, the 20-year-old, or maybe just the young musician who hasn't quite found their footing yet, this authenticity piece? Mm. What do you see as the biggest barrier to being authentic? I mean, like, what makes a person choose becoming a very good copycat versus just doing the thing that's really in their heart to do? What are some, can we just talk about some barriers to that?
I feel like we had the benefit of an absence of internet and being able to see all the things that are going on and the shine and the perfection and the you know, the backdrops that are not realistic. I feel like there's people send me stuff or like, you know, in the comments, they tag me all the time, like, oh my gosh, look at this. This is so awesome. And I feel like I sound very crotchety when like one of my first responses is, what does the live show, like, what does that look like in person though? Like, what does that person sound like away from this screen? Because there's microphones that are really, really good for really, really cheap for your mobile device. And there's, I just bought this beautiful light. Yes, that light makes me look like Dawn from En Vogue. She's my favorite. I feel like she's my spirit animal. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff out there that makes us perfect. But I'm just like, but can you connect with me in real life? Are you going to give me eye contact? Or are you going to close your eyes? Because you're not used to singing to anybody but your own face, essentially in a mirror. But for those that come, that follow, I would say, get out from in front of your screen and live a bit and put the phone down and see life and feel, and don't be afraid to have conversations. And when you talk to somebody, and you should be talking to as many people as possible, eye contact and say hello and notice people and have conversations and learn about somebody else besides yourself, you know, and don't be afraid to interact, because that's where the best stories come from. And that's really what we're, you know, if we're writing stories as songwriters, or if we're telling stories, folklore, as singers, as vocalists, you still have to have some level of awareness of what the heck you're talking about. You can't just say the words, you know. It's like honestly, this is so random, Carla, but I this is the first thing that came to my mind, so I'm gonna tell you. My brother and I had to learn Lift Every Voice and Sing, like when we were 11, 12, something like that. And my stepfather did not play. He was, you know, he was an original integrator at East Tennessee State University. He was like on fire for Black history, civil rights, and Black people. Still is. He's still alive. But we had to know all the verses to Lift Every Voice and Sing. And I was like, why is this even a thing? Why? And I'm singing, lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise loud as the listening, high as the listening skies. You know, it's just like, it was just rote. And then I go to Howard, and then I live a little, and then I see the sense of place and the relevance of why this song is even in existence, and why it's important for us to know our history and to carry the history and to perpetuate the history and to keep the conversations going. And now I can sing that song in a way that like fully holds on to not just the lyrics, but also the major and the minor and the space and the rests and the whole notes. And like, I understand it because I had to live a little and be in my own skin as a Black person to understand why it was so important for my Black stepfather to make sure that his Black children understand and live and keep this message going. You know, you got to put the phone down and you got to live, and you got to be able to have a dialogue with people too, because you can't live this life. You can't do this business all by yourself. You have to have a team. because this work is bigger than just one person. And if you don't know how to just call somebody up and be like, hi, my name is Shauna Tucker, and I am, I don't know, whatever it is that you need. I have some contracts. I don't know what the heck these contracts say, and I need a lawyer to look them over, and someone referred me to you. But if you're scared to make that phone call, you're gonna be mad when you're leaving a whole lot of money on the table, or it's going to somebody else because you don't know how to read a contract, and you're scared to talk to people, or scared to ask for what you want, or just scared to be like, hi, and just smile and be beautiful and like, and shine. Girl, some of these children don't even know how beautiful they are because no one gave them us permission almost, or reminded them that they can shine all by themselves. They don't need somebody else to tell them that they're talented or good enough. Girl, you better get out there and show people and say something and let me see you. I just want these young people to understand how powerful they are without anyone else validating them, you know?
No, I think it's incredible. I think it's a message that needs to be heard. What I heard is two things. Live life, because yes, that will inform your talent.
Yes.
And also refuse to be afraid.
Yes.
Refuse to be afraid. Listen, you have to take the chance, and sometimes you have to do it afraid.
Yep.
But sitting sort of behind your device or sitting in your room only gets part of the job done. There's a world that really needs to be touched by you in a tangible way, that needs to be in your presence to receive all that you carry. I think that's so beautiful. Speaking of advice, what would you say is the single best piece of advice you've ever received? I know that probably can't be boiled down to one, but if you could choose one this day, this moment, what occurs to you?
My grandmother, Sweets. she is many things, and Sweets might not be the first way that many people describe her. But man, she told me, like, when she was about 3, maybe 2 inches from my face, with, you know, that top lip curled up, to finger just wagging, to always trust your mother wit. Always. And that has saved me when I remembered to do it every single time. You can't even, you know, some things you just know. And you don't have to explain. You waste time trying to explain to people what you know or why you know or how you know. That's where you just either got to do, and the silent trust me is in the doing. And a lot of times the trust me is you talking to yourself. You know, I worked, I played cello and sang with Cirque du Soleil for 5 years in Las Vegas. They just live for cushy jobs like that, where you get to play music and you're on a set schedule and you get paid really well and you have great benefits. And like, why would you leave a job like that? But I knew I couldn't articulate to people, especially people that don't want to hear it, that if I can be this kind of successful making music that other people wrote, and I'm a songwriter and I write music, then if I do what I am meant to do authentically and intentionally, then I know that I will be successful. I won't be settling. And I know that if it is a goal of mine to be this level of, you know, on paper, financial, successful, whatever, I can do that for myself. And I couldn't articulate that at the time, but I just knew that at the core, you know, it was that mother wit that was like, and I was like, okay, you know what? This is my last contract year. And when I said it, Carla, I can't even tell you, like, I didn't realize that there was such a weight on me, you know? I had no idea until I said, you know, I don't think I'm going to renew. I'm good. What I'm doing now, you know, that I can take charge of how I do what I do. I don't have to be on somebody else's schedule. I'm doing what I'm meant to do and how I'm supposed to be doing it. And I show up and I listen to that mother wit. Thanks, sweets. Thank you. Thanks for wagging your finger at me.
Listen, I need to meet Sweets.
Yeah. Hurry up. She ain't old.
Listen, that's what I was just about to say. If she hasn't changed addresses, I need to meet Sweets. Sounds like a hoot. And she sounds like a truth teller. I love that piece of advice.
Yeah.
So, again, staying with this theme of advice, I have one final question. You have been a beautiful interview. But I do have one final question, which is, you're welcome. If you could say anything to your 16-year-old self.
I would tell my 16-year-old self, you don't need anybody else to tell you who you are. Just always see yourself. Like, don't forget to see and hear and trust yourself. No one else can tell you who you are or how to be or, you know, what to be. And it's okay to take as much time as you need to get to a place where you can see who you are for yourself.
Well, listen, I think the beauty of this life's journey is we know when we know. Listen, you have been an absolutely beautiful interview today. So many great things to think about and to meditate on. And I hope this won't be your last time on Creative Talk.
I hope not.
I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to just share your wisdom. And as always, we're just hoping that someone is encouraged to continue and to look again with fresh eyes at what it is they're attempting to do with their creative gift. And thank you so much for contributing to that.